Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specing, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Joining me is our very special guest, Mike Beckett from MD Alignment. We're going to be talking about tire wear issues, alignment issues, and we're going to limit our questions to those topics. So Mike and I'll get started here in a little bit, but if you've got a question about tires, alignment, anything to do with that, press 1 on your phone, Lisa. I'll screen the calls, and we'll get to those in just a little bit. Joining me right now is Mike Beckett. Mike, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, and how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Great to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So I know you travel around a lot. Where are you today?
I'm in Stockton, California.
That's a little ways from home.
Well, last week I was in Mexico City and Veracruz doing training, and the week before I was in Southern California.
Ah, boy, you've been all over then. It sounds to me like you're kind of staying in the warm weather, though. Is that a plan?
This is unusual for me. Usually in winter, it seems like the people in Canada want me to come up there because they want to do training when they can't do work anyway.
That's
and
right.
And this year, it's really been nice.
Well, good, good. Glad to see you're out and staying busy and still manage to find some time for us.
Always make time for you. This is always a pleasure. It's not a big problem.
All right. So let's start off with this because I get this question constantly. People will call me and they'll start to describe a tire wear issue or a handling problem and I'll start to talk about alignment, some of the other things, and they'll go, oh, no. I know it's not alignment. I've had a three-axle alignment done 3 different times, and yet it still sounds to me like it is alignment. But so why don't you explain to people how it's possible that a truck could be aligned multiple times and still be out of alignment?
Okay, now, I need to preface this by saying I'm prejudiced. Is that okay?
That works for me.
Okay, good. Now, if you take it from that standpoint and then take everything I say with a grain of salt, it may make sense to you.
Good.
The first problem we have with an alignment is the process. The second problem we have are the tools. And the third problem we have are the specifications. All right?
Okay. So well, hold on. I'm writing. I want to get this down.
Okay. Record it.
I am recording it. Boy, you're so smart.
Oh,
that's why I have you on the show.
All right, well, we're going to start in reverse order. We're going to start with specification. Everybody aligns it to a particular number or a tolerance to a certain number. As a member of the Maintenance Council of the American Trucking Association, I've been involved in the studies the TMC has done on and produced the book, The Guidelines for Total Vehicle Alignment. And in the production of that book, we had reps from the truck manufacturers, the axle manufacturers, the tire companies, and the alignment equipment companies all in the same room. And everybody was arguing about what is the appropriate spec because everybody's was different.
Really?
Oh, yes. You could have a Kenworth truck with Michelin tires on a B-line machine with a Dana axle, and you got 4 different specs to set that truck.
And all of them. all of them, when you say, wait a minute, I've got a tire wear problem, all of them will shake their head and go, but it's in spec.
Exactly. So the question was, where did these specs come from? So I took the opportunity during that 3 years from 97 until 2000 to sit with reps from these different companies, Kenworth, International, Freightliner, Volvo, whoever. Where did you get your specs and your tolerances from? How did you design this? So after a while, I found that everybody was telling me the same story. So here's my generic short version of a 20-minute story about how the specs got designed. First, they looked at what should be done. And they determined that the drive axle, for example, should be centered under the frame and aimed dead straight ahead. Theoretically, this is perfect. Then they said, well, we're building 250 trucks a day, and we can't make them all perfect. So how far off can we be and still get good results? So they considered doing a test and setting up trucks and driving them and see how it worked. And they determined they didn't have the money nor the time to do that kind of a test. So instead, they went and talked to the alignment guys, and they did tests on their assembly line to determine how close could they get that drive axle to dead straight ahead and zero off center in the allotted amount of time they have on that production station, which was 7.5 minutes. And based on 7.5 minutes on the assembly line to align two drive axles, they found they could get within certain numbers of zero. From here to within these two numbers, this is the range we can get it in a reasonable period of time on the assembly line floor.
Got it.
Then they determined, well, the guy who is really proficient at this and is doing this is not going to be there all the time. Sometimes he's sick or on vacation. So what would happen if we put in part-timers who are filling in on vacation and stuff, and they found out their typical range that they can get it within? And that became the warranty tolerance for alignment of a drive axle, and if it's within there, they're not going to pay a warranty on it.
Okay. Now, with all your experience within that one range, and I know that you got different range from different manufacturers and all kinds of things, but within those ranges, was it possible to see problems, even though
absolutely.
You were within the range?
Terrible problems.
So we're screwed from day one.
Day one, right off the bat, because they don't build the vehicle to a performance spec. They build it to a reasonable time to build a truck you can afford.
Oh, wait a minute. That must mean the accountants are making the decision, not the engineers.
Bingo.
Ah, because if the engineers did this, we know it'd be perfect. They're all anal retentive. And yeah, exactly. But the accountants, it's not their tires.
Correct. Next part is that the truck will settle in during its first 60 days or 30,000 miles of operation, and the factory alignment, even if it was really good, will be wrong 60 or 80% of the time because the truck settled in. And the factories cannot control settle in, so this has to be a maintenance issue that the fleet has to handle or the owner-operator, just like changing oil or greasing the truck or retightening bolts that loosen up. So in a practical standard, they can't warranty alignment.
So when we buy a new truck, when should we mark on the calendar to take it to somebody really good and have it aligned?
60 days, 30,000 miles after you get it, you better get it aligned.
Got it. Okay. That's good advice.
Okay. All right. Now, the second part is process. The way you measure a truck will affect the quality of the measurement you get. Every truck has play in the steering assembly and in the rear suspension. And as you drive down the road, drag on the tires sets that play. And that's the toe you're going to have, or that's the drive axle alignment you're going to have. If you take a truck into a conventional alignment process, they're going to put it up on an artificial rack. They're going to park the front tires on turn plates. They're going to jack the truck up and down the mount instruments and set it back down, and then they're going to attempt to measure it. Well, those measurements are a fiction when you compare them to what the measurements would be while it was driving.
That makes sense.
So we recommend a process. that you drive it straight ahead on a hard surface, roll it to a stop, measure it without lifting it, so you're measuring it as driven. And the TMCRP RP642 guidelines for total vehicle alignment recommends the same thing.
Right. So, and that's a phrase you guys use a lot, as driven. I like that.
As driven, yeah. I want to measure it like it drives.
Yep.
Okay?
Because we don't drive around on alignment racks.
I've never seen a truck wear out a set of tires on alignment rack yet.
Yeah, exactly.
When I do, I'll worry about that. Right now, it's not my problem. The third process in the tooling has to do with calibration of the tooling. I can take almost any alignment machine out there, and by fiddling with things, I can probably get it to measure and give me some numbers. But if it's not frequently and regularly calibrated so that I'm getting numbers that are valid, the tooling is going to cause me a problem. Just like checking a tire pressure. The tire pressure gauge periodically has to be checked to make sure it's giving you a real number. Or a torque wrench periodically has to be checked to make sure when you torque it to 250 foot-pounds, it's really 250 foot-pounds. So by the time you get done with the range of specs that are available, the calibrated or not calibrated alignment system, or an artificial relaxed environment instead of as driven, your odds of getting a good alignment are about 1 in 10.
Oh, so when people call me and say, well, I've had it aligned 3 times, all I have to tell them is go get it aligned 7 more, and then we have to figure out which one of those 10 was the right one.
Yeah, because even a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, boy, this is easy. I just tell everybody, get your truck aligned 10 times. We have to figure out which one was right.
Right.
But there's got to be a better way.
Well, we think we have a better way. We have a process that we use. We have tolerances that we've developed over years of doing this. We have some simple tools that allow us to do it. But if somebody really wants to, you give me 30 foot of string, a tape measure, and a roll of duct tape, and I can align any truck built.
I absolutely love that, too. And that's one of the things. You've been doing that for us for a couple of years at the CMC now, showing that kind of stuff. And we get more feedback, good feedback, about that process. People are absolutely amazed when you do that.
And we have videos that will show you how to do it. I have books that you can buy that will show you how to do that. If you want to do it yourself, you want to be a self-contained, do-it-yourself guy, I got no problem with that. If you want somebody else to do it, we have people we train to do it, and they use a little fancier tools to make it easier and a little more impressive. But fundamentally, the idea is fix the truck. Don't blame the tires.
Very good point. You know, we talk about Chad a lot in Kansas City, and Chad uses your techniques, your equipment, all that stuff. And, you know, his customer service is outstanding, but his knowledge. I had somebody the other day. They're in a lease purchase, and they said they kept taking the truck. The only place they were allowed to take it is the company shop because it's a lease purchase. Company shop keeps aligning it, and he not only does he have problems, but the problems keep changing. Mm-hmm. So because, like you just said, you can come up with all kinds of different results with this mess that we've got here, and that's what keeps happening to him. He goes in with a problem. He comes out with a new problem. And finally, he said, you know, I was so tired of this. And he said, I hear you talking about this all the time. And I hear you talk about Chad, Mike Beckett, and MD Alignment. And he said, I called the company and said, I want to take my truck here to get it aligned because you guys can't get it right. And I need some money out of my maintenance account. They wouldn't even give him the money out of his own maintenance account. So he said, I'm just going to pay for it myself. When he left Chad's, he says, I can't believe it. It's right. He already knows it's right. All his handling problems went away.
Mm-hmm. This is what we try to do for whoever wants to do this. We work this, like I said, I was in Mexico training some people. I was in Southern California doing seminars. This week I've been working with the GCR organization, the Bridgestone Retail Outlets. We finally have gotten some headway into them. They've been testing us for a year. They did 250 alignments in the Stockton area and Sacramento area, and they said it worked every single time. It worked. So
wow.
They're buying more equipment, and we've equipped 9 stores with them now in this testing program. If it works, they're talking about going nationwide with it.
Fantastic. See, when something works, It's just a joy. You know, it is. And when we look around and when you explain why things can go wrong in alignments and why they do go wrong in alignments, it's no wonder. I fought this for years and years and years until I met you. I mean, I had given up. I thought, this is just the way it is. Trucks just wear out tires funny. There's no way around this. Everybody had a different excuse. Everybody had a different reason. But until I met you, nobody had a solution.
And we like solutions.
Absolutely.
If you looked at the potential, if you looked at the potential steer tire mileage that you could get, and you went back through all the years I've been playing with these things, in the early 80s, you were lucky with a Michelin XZA that you could get 80, 90,000 miles out of. Then you went to the XZA1. That tire was 125,000 miles higher.
Okay, let me stop you right there, because the XZA1, and I've been a Michelin fan for years and years, used the XZA, moved to the XZA1, and like you said, it's about 120,000 miles, except if your alignment was wrong, which mine always was, obviously, because I could, I got to the point where I started putting the XZA1 all the way around my truck, and the biggest reason I did it in the beginning was so that at 50 or 60,000 miles when my steer tires started wearing funny, I could just rotate them out, and it worked so good for me because I could never get it right.
And if you started them on a drive axle in Hartman Square, they stood up better on the steer.
Oh, they were beautiful. Yeah, so after after I did that first rotation and took two of the drive tires and moved them up to the steer axle, I was like, wow, these things last forever up here.
Yes, they do. All right, so then we went to the XCA 1 Plus. And our experience with right alignment, potentially, that tire was 135,000 miles higher. Then we went to the XCA2. That was 160,000 miles higher. Now we're in the XCA3, and typically we're getting between 180 and 200,000 miles out of that tire.
And I have I've got quite a few people who run that tire, use your alignment methods in your shops, and are reporting 250,000 miles out of that tire.
Yes. Yeah, that's possible. Yep. So the potential mileage out of any premium steer tire today is so much better than anything we saw in the 80s and 90s. But you have to treat the tire right.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, I could do this all day because I learn every time I talk to you, but my producer, a.k.a. Lisa, is yelling that we have lots and lots of phone calls and people who want to talk to you other than me.
Okay, all right.
So let's get to them, because we do have a lot up here. Let's go to Kentucky. Ray, welcome to the program. You're on with Mike Beckett.
Hey there, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You bet you, Ray.
I recently I've got a Freightliner Columbia. I put new front leaf springs. I've had the bushings replaced. I put micro blue bearings all the way around. I got brand new Hankook DL11 drive tires, and I still have irregular wear on my steer tires. I had it aligned, and it still pulls to the right. And I don't want to buy the premium steer tires until I get. So I get things figured out.
No argument. Okay, first thing, you're in a Freightliner.
Yeah.
The design of the air ride suspension on a Freightliner has a weakness in it, and I could go to any brand truck and I can show you the weakness in their suspension. But let's talk about the Freightliner. The Freightliner attaches the rear suspension leaf spring under the drive axle. As a result, all the weight is hanging on the U-bolts. And every time you hit a bump in the road, the U-bolt stretches and gets a lot longer. When it happens on the Freightliner, the airbags in the rear will gradually tilt with the bottom of the airbag moving toward the center of the truck. That's a visual indication that your U-bolts are loose. If the U-bolts are loose, I can't align the truck and hold it there.
So you think I should change out the U-bolts?
Don't change them. If your airbags are tilted like I've just described, does that sound familiar?
Yes, it is.
You go to the back, you loosen the U-bolts up another full turn. put a port of power between the leaf springs and push them back out so the airbags are vertical again, and tighten up the U-bolts good tight, and then you can align it and hold it there.
Okay,
then every 50,000 miles or so, when your truck's in for service, have somebody go underneath it with a great big impact gun and make sure those U-bolts stay tight.
Okay, so I should loosen them and then jack up that one side and then retighten them?
You put a port of power right underneath the airbags on the end of the leaf springs, and you push both airbags back out, and then just tighten them up. Now I've got something I can align.
Okay. So you want the airbags extended and then tighten the U-bolt.
Correct. What you're really doing, as it's loosened up, the U-bolt has got a little angle on the differential housing instead of being perfectly straight up and down. If you attempt to tighten the U-bolt while the U-bolt is at an angle of diff, you'll never get a proper clamping load. So by pushing the springs back out, you're actually straightening the U-bolt so they can tighten up and stay tight.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Okay, so the panhard bars, that's what I call them, the bars
on top
that,
of the diff?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. That just centers the differential end of the frame. That's not a big issue.
Okay. Wow, well, I'll give that a shot. Thank you so very much.
Now, you heard the discussion we just had about tolerances and specs and procedure.
Yes, sir.
All of that occurs after you get the U-bolts tight.
Okay. So maybe then I should go and buy some brand new steers. I'll have my mechanic actually perform that task and then take it to the alignment shop?
Well, I would prefer to align it with the old steers on it because it allows me to see what's going on. And then after aligning it, you can put any tires you want on.
Ah, okay. So it doesn't really matter if your tires are bad or not to get a good alignment out.
Well, it does to me, because if I can see the old pattern in the tires, I have an idea of what I'm trying to fix. You bring me in with new tires on, I'm working blind.
I see. Okay, because the theory that I was always described was you get your brand new tires first, then bring it to the alignment shop.
And the reason they do that in a typical alignment environment is so that whatever the reading is on the machine, you have to believe. I always compare the reading with what the tire's telling me, and if the tire's telling me something else, I don't believe the reading.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, but Mike, the thing there is the person doing the alignment has to be able to think.
Ah, well, now you got a limitation.
Oh. Let's go to another call. Let's head off to Iowa. Joe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I have an odd wear pattern growing in both of my steer patterns. It works kind of at an angle from the outer edge of the tread toward the center, and it appears on the tire basically all the way around the circumference at irregular intervals. I suspect that it's either bearings out of adjustment or maybe I need shocks, but I don't know which direction to go first.
Okay, let's first and make sure that we're talking about the same thing. Are you familiar with feathered wear on a tire?
Am I familiar with what on a tire?
Feathered wear.
Yes.
In other words,
it is
you
not...
lay your hand flat, slide it across the tire and back, is there any feathering on the tire?
Very little.
But there is some.
Yes, very little, but
okay.
There is some.
All right. The newer tires that we're describing tend to resist the feathering pattern, and they hide the pattern better. But it's still there, which means the tire's being pushed sideways. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this pattern on your left front tire, your right front tire, or both?
Both.
Is it starting from the outside shoulders or the inside shoulders or one of each?
Both from the outside.
Pushing in.
Yes.
Okay, what make and model of the truck have we got?
It's an 05 International 9400.
Okay. The only reason the brand of the truck matters is it tells me what type of wheel bearings you probably have. If it was a PACCAR product, it's probably a sleeve non-adjustable bearing. If it's an International Freightliner, it probably is an adjustable bearing. So you could have wheel bearings loose, okay?
Okay.
That's easy to tell. You jack up one wheel on the front of the truck. You leave the other wheel on the ground. You grab the top of the tire with your fingers into the tread, your palm against the outside side of the tire. You put a leg back, and you just push and pull on that thing just as hard as you can. And if it goes click, 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 bearing's loose.
Okay.
The cupping will start on the outside shoulder, and it will gradually migrate across the tire.
Okay.
That's the highest probability. Are you balancing these tires?
Actually, I use the little glass beads.
That's fine. You're balancing them. That's all I want.
Yes.
If you're balancing, I'm not dealing with a balance issue. Is the feathered wear where you slide your hand in toward the middle of the truck, it feels smooth, and when you come out, is there a little sharp edge?
Yes.
Which means you've got a little bit too much toe in both of those front tires, and that could also be contributing to the cupping on the outside shoulder working its way into the tire. So bearing loose and too much toe in, both of them are possible candidates.
Okay. I'm going to be running around up here in Iowa. I know you guys are based out of here. Which one of your shops is the closest to Bettendorf?
You'd have to call the 800 number at our office. They can look it up on the computer and tell you. Our shop is in Des Moines. If you want us to help you, that's fine. If you want somebody over in eastern Iowa, call the shop and they can give you an idea who can give you a hand, okay?
All righty.
Glad to help.
All right, let's head off to New Mexico. Bruce, welcome to the program. You're on with Mike Beckett.
Thanks for taking the call.
You bet, Bruce.
Yeah. Hey, question I have for you is I have a T660 Kenworth. It's a 2010, built in 09. And the wide base is on drive axles. Expect the track.
You know what? I'm going to put that call back on hold. We're going to see if we can come back to it in a little bit. You were breaking up so bad I couldn't understand you. Let's go to Texas. Mike, welcome to the program.
How you guys doing this evening?
We're doing well. Are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I got two questions for you. One, I am about to make the conversion from duals to super singles. And I've been hearing that I have to adjust the driveline angles. I'm going from a Low Pro 22.5 dual to a 445/50 22.5 single.
Wrong.
I've been told I have to adjust the driveline angles to make that conversion.
What kind of truck you got?
Say a 07 Peterbilt 387 with the flex air suspension.
You don't have to change anything.
Again?
You don't have to change anything.
Who told that you did?
The shop where I'm actually getting the tires, they said that they're not sure if it's when you convert from duals to super singles or from super singles back to duals. They're saying you have to adjust driveline angles. So that's why I was just double checking.
Wait a minute.
I've never heard it. That's why I'm just checking.
Wait a minute. I'm glad we got the question answered right for you because you don't have to change anything. But, Mike, doesn't this kind of drive you crazy? First off, here's a shop that's trying to give some sort of advice. Where they heard this, I have no idea. But it doesn't even make logical sense when they say,
no, it does.
Well, we have to change driveline angles, but we're not sure which way. Well, if you had to change driveline angles, it would have to be both ways.
Right. Sorry, it's a wives' tale. Forget about it. Just go ahead and change your tires if you want to change them. The only advice that I will give you, if you're converting from duals to wide-base tires, do not put 2-inch offset rims on those axles. You want 0 offset rims.
That's been our advice for quite some time now. 0 only. Got it. All right, let's move along. Let's head out to Nevada. Rob, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you gentlemen today?
Good.
We're having fun.
First, I'd like to make a comment. Mike's son align my truck once for me. And
I'm sorry.
Out of a set of XDA2 Energy steer tires, I got 186,000 miles.
That's not bad.
And they still had pretty good tread on it, but I had some shoulder edge wear on both shoulders inside and outside and got a little nervous, so I pulled them off and replaced them.
Okay, let's talk for a minute about that before you get off, okay? What inflation were you running in those steer tires?
130 PSI.
That's a little too high. Now, is these the steer tires, right?
These are steer tires, XVA2 Energy. Low Pro 22.5, 195, 60R 22.5.
Yeah, but the sidewall doesn't call for 130. I think the sidewall calls for 110 or so.
No, sir. The sidewall calls for 130.
They do call for 130? Okay. All right. That's fine. No arguments then. If they call for 130 and you're running 130, I still think you're underinflated. And I would have preferred to have them 5 or 10 pounds over what the sidewall called for, and we will reduce that shoulder wear.
There was the problem with the rims are only rated for 130, and I was nervous about putting more air than that in there.
Okay, can't argue with that. I'll leave it alone.
But anyway, I was wondering how replacing the forward drive axle with the liftable axle affects your alignment.
It changes how we're going to set the alignment of that drive axle slightly. It's a very small change. We've got people going to that 6x2 configuration. It's not a big deal as far as the alignment's concerned, and we still get real good tire wear, and you get better fuel mileage.
Okay. And do most shops, such as, say, Pittsburgh Power, do they know how to put that axle on there where it's centered properly so that is there any adjustment on those lift axles that you know of so that you can align those
routine work.
All right. Well, that's
And since we're talking about it, Mike, isn't Pittsburgh Power MD alignment trained now?
Yes, they are.
Excellent. So they're installing lift axles and they know how to align them. Wow, what a combination.
There you go. Yeah, I love it.
All right. Let's try New Mexico. Russell, are you there? Go ahead.
I've been to a few shops that say they're in the alignment train, but they're not doing any of the things you guys are talking about that I've listened to over the last couple of years. As far as,
that's,
you know, you talk about driving it. You know, all I'm seeing is lasers being coupled on, and, you know, it looks like my shop is Warner alignment, which those guys drive me nuts. But I'm really looking for an indie alignment shop in Southern California. And I noticed Dion International in San Diego. Are those guys a legitimate indie alignment, or how do we find out if they really are?
The problem that I've got with selling equipment and training equipment is that I can't control when they change personnel, if they bother to teach them, or if they just hand them the tools, say, read the book and go do some more alignment.
I hear you.
Right?
I hear you.
Are you familiar with the 80-20 rule?
80-20?
The number is 80-20. 80%
sure.
of the good work's done by 20% of the people.
Right. Yeah, I learned that in sales.
And I think
like
it's more. I think it's 90-10, and I'm always looking for the 10% that will do the job diligently and conscientiously and do it right. But we're dealing with the lowest common denominator here: people.
I hear you.
Now, there are certain shops that I've known for years that somebody says, "Where would you take a truck to have it aligned?" And I can tell you those shops, and they may not be close to you, but those are the guys I'll trust.
How about Phoenix? Is that?
Yeah, Arizona Laser. I'd take it there in a heartbeat.
Okay, I actually know that one. They did my truck a long time ago, and they did pull out the strings, and they were doing levels. I was really impressed with that. But everybody else, like that guy in Nebraska, I thought I was at a TA. I couldn't believe it, and, you know, nothing changed. I'm really having trouble with this truck. But what I'm really curious about is what you just said about the airbags laying over. Now, how do I describe that to a shop to get it fixed? I mean, what am I saying? I got leftover springs, or the U-joints are loose?
No.
Or are the U?
No, the U-bolts are loose. If those airbags are not vertical, if they're leaning in on the bottom, your U-bolts are loose.
Russell?
Yeah?
Russell?
Yeah.
Do you have a Freightliner?
Yeah, Freightliner Century, and you described a way of correcting them that I couldn't figure out what you were saying.
Okay, what the mechanic is going to do is he's going to go underneath the back of the truck with an impact gun, and he is going to loosen the U-bolt a little bit more. Okay? Then he's going to put a porta power, a big hydraulic ram, between the two leaf springs under the airbags, and he's going to push those airbags back out so they're vertical.
Okay, I didn't hear that part.
And once they're vertical, he's going to tighten them up. Yeah, we're all done.
Okay, because mine are just really laying over like crazy. And actually, when I make a right turn, I can almost hear a clunk. And I've had everything looked at, and everybody says it's tight. But I bet you
I'll tell you what the clunk is in a Freightliner or Peterbilt. They both do it.
Uh-huh.
The rear shackles on your steer axle leaf springs are snapping side to side in the shackle bracket.
Okay. I know what you're talking about there.
You could put washers in there to fill up the gap so they don't slot side to side, and you'll get rid of the clunk.
Oh, good. Like a cheap fix. I like it. Okay. I really appreciate your help. Thanks.
Glad to do it.
All right. Thanks for the call. We're going to stay right there in New Mexico. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks again for taking my call. Sorry I got disconnected there.
That happens.
I was talking, I got a T660. It's an 09, built in 09. I got the wide base super singles with the P spindles, ordered it from the factory like that. I am getting what I would deem to be loose bearing wear on my inside of all my four drive tires. However, I have that inner sleeve.
Yeah, your bearings are tight. It's not loose wheel bearings. It's axle flex.
Okay.
Do you have the 2-inch offset rims or the 0 offset rims?
They're the 2-inch offset.
You've got a drive axle housing standard on that truck that has a 9.5 millimeter thickness.
Okay.
And with the 2-inch offset rims, you have effectively lengthened the axle by 4 inches.
Okay.
And when the tires hit bumps in the road, the axle will physically flex and push down on the inside shoulder of all four of those drive tires and chop them off.
Okay.
You need 0 offset rims.
Mike, I keep meaning to check this when I'm in a shop, and I keep forgetting when I'm around somewhere where I could check it. I've been told that you can take the 2-inch offset and flip it around. What does that do?
Well, what happens is, first of all, when you flip it around, you have to change your valve core, put an elbow in it, and extend it out through the little holes so that you can check the pressure and so that the valve core won't hit the brake drum. Okay?
Okay.
The second thing that happens is the center piece in that rim is about 1 inch thick. So when you flip it around, you go from a 2-inch offset out to a 1-inch inset.
Oh, okay.
Which is okay. It doesn't cause a problem. It reduces the flex. The tires wear just fine.
Okay. So that is an acceptable practice?
We've got a bunch of owner-operators that have done it very, very successfully. Some of them have come to the CMC.
Okay. Excellent. Because you know, most of the rims out there, this might change over time, but I think almost, you know, most of the rims I look at are almost always the 2-inch offset.
Correct, because when we first brought this out, when Michelin brought it out, wanted to get everybody to convert, they didn't like the way the Zero set the thing in so far. It doesn't look good. They put the 2-inch offsets to make it look good.
Got it.
How many of you have ever put offset rims on your pickup truck and ruined the bearings?
Yeah.
This is exactly the same thing.
Got it.
So the dealer telling me that by buying this special housing that's made for super single wide base tires, they weren't really telling me the truth then, right?
They were telling you what they were taught at the time, but since then we've learned it didn't work. You don't want 2-inch offset rims. You want zeros.
Okay. Well, I'm getting over 200,000 miles on these tires, and I still got a lot of life left in them, so I'm not just extremely upset with the wear. I'm just asking about why it was there.
That's what's doing it, and that's the only cure I know of, is flip that rim, and then when you can afford it, buy zeros.
Okay. Well, I got the disc brakes on it, so does that matter? That would actually make it easier than having drums, right?
To tell you the truth, I've never known of anybody that's flipped it with disc brakes. I don't know exactly what the complications are going to be there.
The disc itself is actually outside of the tire now. You can see most of the disc if you look down past the top of the tire, so it's not even on the cover at this point.
But if you flip the rim around, you're going to move the tire 3 inches in from where it is right now.
Yeah, I see that.
Will that hit your components? I don't know.
Well, that would be something to take a look at, but yeah. So.
Correct.
Well, I appreciate it. Other than that, this truck is aligned real well. My steer tires, I'm getting very good wear out of them, so I think I finally, hit upon a truck that I can at least have it aligned, and I'm getting decent wear on my steering tires. Used to be they would eat them up, but so.
Well, all right, great stuff. We got a lot of calls to get to, so we're going to keep moving. Let's go to South Carolina. Dennis, welcome to the program.
Hi. I hear you guys talking a lot about these single tires, and I just bought a set, and I don't know if they're 2-inch or 1-inch offset, and I didn't know if there's a rule of thumb or how to figure that out.
You got a tape measure?
I do.
Take the tape measure, walk up to your truck, stick the tape measure in until it hits the metal piece in the middle, and look down the outside of the tire and line it up with the tape, and let's say from the outside it measures 9 inches, okay?
Yep.
Then stick it in the inside until it hits the metal, and let's say it reads 7 inches, okay?
Yep.
That's a 2-inch offset rim.
Okay.
If it's 8 and 8, it's zero.
Exactly. I know it was a kind of a silly question, but I was kind of stumped and wanted to know about that. If they are 2-inch offset, would it be okay to flip these and just run them with a 1-inch inset?
That's what I would try.
That's what you would try.
Yep.
You've answered my question, sir. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. He just drove through the express lane. We got him in and out. Let's go to Wisconsin. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
That's
I have a 1995 379 Pete.
Oh, my goodness. Put it in the museum.
It's got $1.4 million on it, and it's paid for, and Kevin's word worth it, and I just keep driving it.
Good plan.
Taking care of it. My question is, you guys are awesome. I love the show. What would be the best tires for this truck? For the drive.
Round ones.
Pardon me?
Round ones.
Round ones, yeah.
Round ones. My question is, what are you doing with it?
I run flatbed, so I got 355 rears in it.
So you run flatbed operation highway. Are you within 7 states of or 4 states?
No,
or
I
you run 48?
I run 48, basically from Wisconsin, all mainly southeast.
Okay, all right. You need a good premium steer tire. You can buy a Michelin XVE. You can buy a Continental HSL. You can buy a Bridgestone, whatever they call them now. You can buy whatever you want. You need a good premium highway steer tire. You don't want a regional tire. Okay?
Right. I have Michelin on the steer, so.
Okay. All right. Now, are you worried about what drive tires you should put on or what?
Yes, drive tires.
Ah, okay. All right. The Michelin X, what's the current drive tire?
They just changed. So now they're identifying their line first. So you're either looking at the X line, which means it's the dual tires, or the X1 line, which means it's a wide single. Now, once you know which line, then the new drive tire, the really low rolling resistance, which is what I'm always looking for, is the Energy D. So you can either have an X-line Energy D, which means it's dual, or an X1-line Energy D, which means it's a wide single. Both of them are great tires with really low rolling resistance.
Oh, awesome.
So
okay.
You want duals or you want a wide-base single on there?
I don't know. I've always had duals on here. I've never had singles like that. That's the question. I don't know what I should
let Kevin talk about the advantages of the wide single and the risks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Mike, my thing is fuel mileage, always has been. So I look at fuel mileage first. It's not the only thing I look at, but obviously it's the first thing. Whatever, and like you did, you ask some questions about the operation, you know, how much time do you spend off the pavement, how far do you go, what kind of trailer. So all those things factor in. But then once we zero in on the type of tire we need, then I just start looking at rolling resistance numbers. And in most cases, Michelin is going to be right there at the very best. There are a couple exceptions. So that's one of the reasons I've been, you know, so loyal to Michelin. The other one is they just make a good tire as far as I'm concerned. That's why I mentioned those first two. I love wide singles. I mean, I've loved them since the day I switched. I like the fact that they're lighter. I like the fact that it's so much easier to check my tire pressure, walk around and stick them, or, you know, really I like having a tire pressure monitoring system on them. But just to walk around and stick them is so much easier. I like the way they handle. They have the lowest rolling resistance possible. So unless if somebody's asking me, unless there's a reason in their operation not to use them, one of the reasons is if you spend more than 5% of your time off the pavement, don't use them. They don't do well off-road. They're closed shoulder. So there are some times where I say, no, that might not be best. The other time might just be purely budget, because when you switch, it's expensive. You got rims and all that other stuff. But other than those exceptions, the wide single is my first choice. After that, if you just don't want wide singles, then we start looking at the low rolling resistant duals.
All right, let me give you the concerns I have when you go to wide singles from my point of view. If you're running more than 450 horsepower, that wide single is not going to have a big enough footprint to give you good traction. You're going to get slippage and you're going to get accelerated wear rate if you put your foot in the throttle.
Mike.
Yeah.
You're talking to my listeners here.
Yeah, I know.
They can all put a raw egg under their shoe and not break it all day long.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Second thing is, if they drive faster than about 65 miles an hour, that wide base tire is going to distort. You're going to lose both shoulders.
Very good.
So once
point.
Again,
that happens fast.
Kevin Rutherford's guys don't drive fast, so that shouldn't be a problem. Okay. So those are my two main concerns when they go to wide basic. I'll do it with 550 horsepower. He'll crank it when he goes over the Rockies, and he'll just burn those tires right off. Or he likes to run the flatlands at 70 miles an hour, and he can't keep the shoulders on the tires.
We also, don't you see that when they've got a lot of torque or horsepower and their foot's in it all the time, you see that stepped kind of wear pattern?
Yeah, it's called a heel and toe pattern in the drive
tire. Heel and
tire.
Toe, yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
got it.
Very dramatic.
All right. Let's see. We've still got a bunch of calls. We are off to California. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, guys. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing great.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm looking at switching over my 24-5 duals to super singles, and I'm looking at a brand of rim made by a company called AccuRide. And the salesperson there is telling me that they only have 0.5-inch, a half an inch offset. They don't sell zero offset.
That's fine. Half an inch is nothing.
Okay.
Go ahead and do it.
And, okay, so I should have no concerns whatsoever about flipping them or anything?
Nope. Half inch is fine.
Well, that was an easy one then. Thank you, gentlemen.
You betcha.
All right. And not that it really matters or means anything. I have a relative that I don't talk to very often, but pretty high up at Accurag. Not that it means anything at all, but I just thought I'd throw that in there.
There you go.
All right. So we have got about 10 minutes left in the show, and we've got a bunch of calls. So we're going to try to knock out as many as we can, and Mike, we'll just have to get you back another time.
Anytime. No problem.
All right. Let's go to Washington. Ken, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, I got the wide base Yokohama 517s, and I'm getting slight wear on the outside and inside of the tread pattern, but all four are wearing the same.
Yep. How fast do you drive?
57 to 62.
Okay, it's the and do you ever? Now you wouldn't do this. You guys know what a Tijuana overdrive is?
No.
Okay. Downhill, popping out of here, and you're rolling at 70 miles an hour?
No, this truck never seen 70 miles an hour with me in it.
Okay. If you're losing both shoulders on both on your tires, there's only three things that do that. One is overload. Two is inflation. Three is speed. Now,
okay.
If you have a tire that's overly sensitive to speed or inflation or overload, that particular tire can start showing that stuff. But those are the things that give you both shoulders.
Now, and Mike,
okay,
when you say...
I'm sorry,
Ken,
go
hold
ahead.
On a sec. Yeah, Mike, when you say if you have a tire that's sensitive, does that mean that certain models of tires, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yes. As I go from Bridgestone, Great Tex, to Goodyears, to Michelins, to Contis, I will see in the same kind of environment different standards of performance between those tires.
Got it. So you could have a wear pattern showing up on a tire. You could take that tire off, put another tire on, do all the exact same stuff, but end up with a different wear pattern.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, well, all four of these are one of the same. When I got the truck, it came with the whites. I'm pretty sure they're at a 2-inch offset just by looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I always feel my center hubs and I check the temperature of my tires whenever I get out. And I'm never running really hot, ever.
Okay. Here's a gauge to check the temperatures. Or do you use your hand?
On the center hub, I'm using my hand, and it's generally pretty cool. I don't use my brakes a lot, and I just coast through the hill. So.
Okay. Well, what I was looking for was if you had a gauge, are you checking the temperature on the shoulder of the tire versus the temperature in the middle of the tire?
No.
Okay. Because when you start wearing a shoulder of the tire down, you're going to get an increased temperature where the wear is occurring.
Okay.
Okay. And as the shoulder starts to wear down, it's going to wear faster and faster and faster the shorter it gets.
Okay.
So what you see as a preliminary condition now is going to accelerate itself probably to become a major condition a little later.
Well, I've been watching it really closely for about the past 20,000 miles, and it doesn't seem to be accelerating, so I'm wondering if it's just normal. The other thing, too, is when I got the truck, I mean, these are my first set of super singles, and maybe I'm just being overly paranoid about them. But when I got the truck, they only had about 105 pounds of pressure. The manufacturer calls for 130. I wasn't comfortable with them at 130, so I took them down to 115.
Okay, now wait a minute. What is it that told you that the manufacturer wants 130?
Sidewall cold pressure was 130 pounds.
Okay, and what was the load that the tire can carry at 130 pounds?
Oh, God, I didn't even read that part.
Probably 10 or 11,000 pounds of weight, right?
Right.
But you're not carrying 11,000 pounds on each tire, which would be 22,000 pounds on the axle. You're only carrying 17,000 pounds on an axle.
Okay.
So you don't need the maximum inflation because you're not carrying the maximum load.
Okay, and that's why I took them down. Now, right now, I'm running them at 115 pounds. So should I take them back down to 105?
No, I would need to look at the load inflation table for that particular tire to find out what inflation it prefers for 8,500 pounds of load per tire.
Okay.
You know,
that's something I could look up myself then.
Correct. And then I would take whatever inflation they recommend, and I would add maybe 5% or 10% to that just to make sure I'm not underinflated.
Okay. Now, my other question was about alignment, and mine's mainly on the front end, I think. You're the pro. You'll be able to tell me. I had the truck align when I bought it, and it's been on now, 40,000 miles on it, and it's already pulling hard back to the right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which means your drive axles are out of alignment.
Okay. And would that cause any problems in my braking on my steer though? Because when I do braking on my steer, I'm getting lots of front end shake on the front.
You've got a brake drum that's off center on the front. It's not properly centered on the hub, and when you apply the brakes, it's causing a chatter and jerking your steering wheel.
Okay, so can that be fixed, or do I need to replace that hub?
No, it can all be fixed. This is easy.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Go ahead and just fix it or replace
it? No, you don't need to replace it normally. That's just a maintenance issue. We can take care of that.
Okay. Okay, and basically the shop I use can adjust that and fix it?
They should be. If they have any questions, have them contact us. We'll give them some advice.
I will do. That's all I got for you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Wyoming. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing?
Two comments. I got one about, with the 2-inch offset rim, I spin that around, so I'll have a 1-inch inset, and that tire is going to wear beautifully down the road.
The experience we've had with the guys that have been testing it for the last 3 years is it works just fine.
Okay, because I've got a place that will swap my Low Pro 22s for their super single. They want duals on their tractor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good deal. I'll do that. Now the other one is, I got micro loop bearings on the tractor, and if I go to, I've heard rumor that with the way they are retorqued, they're too loose for super singles.
My experience with the procedure that the guys at MicroBlue use, my personal feeling is that they're too loose for everything.
Okay.
But I don't complain about their product. I have no objection to the MicroBlue bearing. My concern is with the procedure they use to install them.
And I'm on board with that. We've been through this. I've talked to everybody. I've listened to everybody's logic. I've looked at results, and I'm with Mike on this. I like the MicroBlue product, but I still do all the wheel bearing adjustments the way Mike outlines it.
Okay, so I need to go to your website and find out how you do it, so I can have my shop do it that way.
Well, yeah, there is a video on our website on how do we like to adjust bearings. So if you go to our video library, pay $10 through PayPal, you'll get an access code, and you can watch that video as many times as you want for two each show to whoever you want, and it shows you how we would like to adjust bearings and why we do what we do.
Okay.
All right. And with that... Sorry, hate to do it to you, Kevin, but we are going to have to wrap this up. I know sometimes the hour just flies by. It certainly did having you here, Mike, this time, but we appreciate it, and we will get you back soon.
It's fabulous with no commercials. I like this.
You know, I like doing this podcast so much more because there are no interruptions, there are no commercials, and yet without the commercials, the hour just flies by.
Oh, just having a ball.
Yeah. So As always, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and helping us out.
And you're very welcome. Just let me know when you want to do it again. We'll do it.
All right. We will get with you here soon, and we will have you back. In fact, we're working on a schedule, and maybe we can even make this a regular something we do on a regular basis so we can schedule it ahead of time and get that done. With that, I've got to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for joining me. We will get this latest episode posted up on Facebook, so if you want to listen to it again, by all means, share this with all of your friends. Tell your friends about it. Here's my plan. I would love to build more time on the podcast. An hour a week just isn't enough. Our schedule's tight. If we can get the followers up, if we can get more people involved in the podcast, we will expand the podcast hours. We'll bring in more guests, and we'll keep doing this. So help me out. Share this and tell all your friends about it.
Give us a call at 855-800-FUEL. That's 855-800-3835. Check out the website at letstruck.com and find us on facebook.com/letstruck.
Thanks for joining me, everybody. Be safe. Be profitable. Do the hard work and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.